في تريننج ترى before you go to war.
والله
يا اخي it's like a tutorial.
ما يذبونك على طول.
You can play a YouTube video before you go to war.
I mean, I assume some of it is that.
I would love to see Shamsi deal with a DI.
With a what?
Drill instructor.
Oh, so you know war talk now, mashallah?
War talk.
Look, if war happens, you know, they gotta let things pass because they need people on the ground.
No, but my part...
True.
Yes,
true.
That's the scary part.
I was way too happy about that. My,
my hypothesis is
why are you happy? You're going to be a human.
Way too happy. That's what I'm saying.
You're going to be the front line.
My hypothesis is because we have established that Shamsi has troubles with authority and dealing with the DI. Like,
No. I know Shamsi very well. Mm-hmm. See, in that time, mm-hmm. when we're in that kind of position, mm-hmm. he'll be the guy who's going to wait for every single order.
I'll be the best fucking cog you ever had.
No, he'll be a guy that says, yo, hey. I'm not going to shoot until you tell me.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, malicious compliance, Shamsi.
Yes.
Not malicious compliance. This is me being part of the system. I understand my role in the system to do as I'm told.
But if we're in the same battalion, me and you, I will do exactly what Turk just said. Hey. You will be my human shield. I will walk with you like this, and the gun on your shoulder. Champs, don't move.
Quwat al-Iman, you know, we live together, we die together.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you. Don't worry. Hey.
Don't worry. Yes, we're dying together. Yeah, go.
I'll be close.
The second you die, I'm going to strap your body.
Keep in mind. First of all,
it'll be me, Turk, and Turk. Tank in your body tied to the
a whole other fucking human centipede machine.
I would choose to be a seaman. So let's start there. Okay. Yeah.
Have one?
Yes. Mm. Once I go to boot camp.
Well, you were once.
Boot camp. Hey. Right? So yeah, in boot camp, I'll decide to go for the Navy. Mm. Mm, because you know what happens.
Because the YMCA.
No, you know what happens. You know what happens at sea.
Stays at sea.
You know, it's the camaraderie.
I don't know what kind of war films you've been watching, son.
I'm just
Titanic
saying.
Is not a Navy ship. This one's, you know. Man, you will not find romance.
I'll look for a submarine.
They won't allow you paint supplies, Marrakesh.
Yeah, but I feel like a ship is the safest place to be, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, really?
In the middle of the water.
In the middle of the water. Just a floating little thing in the middle of water.
Because you know why? Because there's higher priority targets. I don't want to be in the air.
So you actually think ships are not a high priority target?
A warship.
Yeah,
that has munitions and planes. I think there's higher priority targets,
honestly.
Like, no, you're the target.
Yeah. I would say the planes are bigger, you know, target.
And who cares the planes?
Yeah, that's a different
What, you think every
discussion. Warplane is going to fly from another area?
No, they fly to forward bases. And then they relaunch. And then they launch.
What did you get down,
Ya Ali? Wassal wahad. No, but that's the thing. First of all, I probably wouldn't be on land. You wouldn't have to deal with me.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, bumbling things up, you know. I'll bumble things up.
But you on a warship.
But you on a warship.
You will be efficient on the warship, subhanAllah.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, ma'alik. Seaman, Shamsi.
Take this tugboat and just stay behind the ship.
He will.
I'm the guy in charge of the donuts. I love Taliana was the donuts.
He'll swap the poop deck.
He is the poop deck.
And we see, that's the thing. When you're part of a ship, you know, you're all crew, so every man matters. So that's what I'm
every seaman.
Every seaman matters, yeah.
And woman.
That's what you'd be looking for, yeah. Don't look for the guts and the glory. Look for playing your part.
What?
He's saying words.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to Pastor Gamsa. It's your boy. I had what's happening, what's popping. Episode 254. I got the homie Turks right behind me. I got Champs right next to me.
Yo.
Number one is in the building.
Yeah.
And we're talking wars. Because
our role in them.
Because we fear that a war is coming.
Spicy times, I call it.
We're all going to be asked to come and protect our country.
Yes. Which we shall do proudly.
Proudly.
Yes.
And that's how we're already trying to decide who's going to be the human shield in this group.
With honor and service.
Look, I'm going to go on a killing spree.
Mm. Where?
I didn't say where.
Yeah.
Okay. Just don't give me a weapon.
You need to air things out.
Choose your war dimension. You buy.
No, because I have a lot of friends. Okay. Okay. Some of them, they got to go. They got to go.
For the greater good.
Wait, is it better if I'm part of the cyber war? So just put me behind the screen. So
no, you're talking about you suck at video games.
That's
I'm a gamer. That's where I am.
No, but that's an entire new dimension of war.
We teach you figure out tech that came out 10 years ago today.
See?
You expect me to say, cyber war. It's in Champs' hand. He got this.
Boot camp.
Why is everything a boot camp to you?
That's how they prep
Learn cyber wars in 25 days.
Yeah, they're not going to teach you C++ in the boot camp, yeah, Champs.
Yeah, I'm curious what they would actually teach me.
Nothing.
This guy is a cyber war guy.
No, the cyber war boot camp.
Listen, number one is going to be a cyber war guy. Definitely. He understands what RTX
them.
Is.
Yes.
He should love
I
them.
Understand what ray tracing is.
Yes. Okay.
And that's why
he's not going to, you're not going to render shit. Salah,
but say, I understand. I can understand the terms.
I think your best role to play is just sending messages to the enemy telling them to give up.
telepathic communication.
I think him listing out all the reasons why they would fail would maybe psychologically.
No,
work,
I'll send them very weird memes and demoralize them.
There we go. And there's demoralization
cyber war.
Happening.
Yes, cyber war.
How did the war stop? Someone was being very weird on the other side.
We all left the group. We just didn't want to.
Like this guy's this weirdo with a big ass head. Just kept making us like
uncomfortable.
Stupid memes.
Exactly. Yeah. Uncomfortable. And like we just wanted this guy to stop, right? And he wouldn't stop. So we just like gave them away flag.
War ended over a meme.
Well, Isma, if you can actually do that, props to you, man. Talk about psychological warfare. I would support you.
I don't think I will be drafted because there's not a helmet big enough. Exactly. Unfortunately.
Well, that's
we'll put a boat on top of your head.
The material needs to be spread around.
Is this where I come into play?
You're leading that boat?
Exactly.
Tiny Shamsi on top of his head, like,
yeah. Manic, we'll row away together, number one.
Oh my god, Shamsi, yeah. Number one at sea.
Yo. Yeah. Yo. Forget about it, you know.
No, you forget about
we're
it.
We're winning wars, bro.
That's a Nickelodeon show waiting to happen.
That's SpongeBob SquarePants. That's exactly what it is.
I'm SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Because you look like him.
He's the star.
I'm Patrick.
That's what makes him Patrick.
Because he was fat, right? Just like you.
Was.
Yeah.
Oh,
good times.
That's it?
No, frightening times.
Can we give people an explanation why we think war is coming?
Please.
Because there's geopolitical tensions all across the board across in the Middle East. There's non-government state players getting involved in shit that, you know, puts everybody else in peril. There's, you know, people with malicious agendas trying to push them. There's people that don't care for the value of human life, you know, just going wantonly massacring people left and right. So a lot of bad stuff is happening.
Close to home.
Close to home.
Close to home.
Yeah.
Stone's throws away.
Leicester.
Yeah. It does not seem to be a fun time to be a geopolitical player.
With that being said, Eid Mubarak, everyone. I think about everyone hears it's going to be Eid anyway. So yeah, Eid Mubarak, everyone. And war.
Inshallah. Sanat salam wa mahabba alaykum jami'an.
Welcome to your number one podcast.
Yes.
Good vibes. Good vibes, everybody.
Allah. Speaking of good vibes, you know what I want? You know, let's say I can build like this warship, warplane that like no one has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And like have this thing be like, you know, top notch, something like out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the first thing I'm going to do? How I'm going to unveil it?
How?
I'm going to Burning Man.
Okay. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Just imagine this weird spaceship coming down at Burning Man.
People are going to be excited.
Exactly. Yeah,
you will start a cult.
Exactly. Everyone will be excited. All of a sudden, like there's a
or three.
Like all of a sudden, the bottom of it turns into a screen and says, "You're all losers." It just goes away.
How's that?
I mean, honestly, would anybody actually believe you? Yes, there would be footage of this. Yes, people would actually believe you.
Yo, the spaceship came down and said we were losers and just left.
Who's we? Yeah.
The spaceship said, "How's
humanity?"
The spaceship
or just Burning Man.
The spaceship said, "How's daddy's trust fund going?"
No, but Danny, that's Danny. You would touch and influence a lot of people there. No,
don't touch people there. They don't shower.
Exactly.
You know,
they're stinky.
Especially if you're influencing.
That's what you're going for.
Anyway, patience and creativity. I want to talk to you guys about that. Well, a couple things happened this week.
So that's their names.
Yes, okay. You saw the A cups. So, look, a lot of you are angry at me for keep saying the A cups, right? And I understand.
Where's the lie, though?
I understand you're angry, but
where's
I'm
the
not
lie?
Lying here.
Where's the lie?
I'm calling it as it is, bro.
They have to have a personality.
You know what? We're not going to talk about patience and creativity. Now, hell no. We're going to talk about something else that me and the boys had a conversation about.
What?
Compromising relationships.
Okay.
we were talking about things on the podcast, and he was telling me, he's like, listen, do you feel like right now you're at the stage where you cannot be as free as you were before because you have some relationships that you're trying to maintain? So I told him, I was like, you see me. Like, you know, like, I go at everybody, you know, with good intentions.
Intentions, always. Yes. Yeah.
But I was like, we do have relationships that sometimes, like, you know, we don't want to cross the line out of respect for those relationships. Mm. It's the same thing, like, everywhere else, Eddie. You don't have to be an asshole all the time.
Most of the time.
You don't have to be an asshole at all sometimes.
No. Let's not go there, all right? So I was like, we do have some relationships that we don't want to ruin, but some relationships, like, it's out of respect. Like, I have thoughts about Middle Beast Records, right? But out of respect of my boy, I'm not going to say those things. It's not out of, yo, because I fear what's happening. No. It's because out of respect. Because that's a relationship that I had for a long, long time, and I don't want to destroy the relationship for anything. And he was like, how about the boys? I was like, same thing. I think it goes across the board for all of us.
Yeah, some more than others, I would say.
I'm kind of lost. I don't know what you're talking about exactly.
You want me to break it down? Yeah. Okay, so when the mother bee and so
they do a little dance.
Sometimes you cannot get into a conversation about a topic because of some relationships they have that are close to that topic.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's most of the time, for all three of us, minus Shamsi, it's usually business.
Yeah.
Business, some personal stuff.
Very rarely is personal.
Some.
You know, but most of it is because of business. But you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. So wait.
On the other side.
Look at him. Yeah. He got stuck.
He'd be out there.
I'm waiting to see how this plays out. Yeah.
No, it's nothing. It's true. Like, you're in the same position as us.
See, that's the thing. You value those relationships. And in valuing those relationships, you don't want to compromise, you know, the stability of that relationship, I would feel. So
it's a matter of priorities, basically.
And some things, true, very true. Like, how important is this thing to me, and how much does it matter that I actually speak my mind out or let you know? At the end of the day, Yanni, if it's something that I'm not directly involved in, then why am I invested, right? Why do I actually care?
Because you have a job when you come here. About stating about what's really happening on the streets.
No, I'm talking about in terms of personal, when you have a personal, you know, relationship with somebody on the other side.
Yeah, okay. See, I have personal relationships with people that I talk about on the podcast. And I say positive and negative things about them. But they understand that none of it is malicious. So I think even if I have a personal relationship with anyone, like, they know when I'm speaking about something, it's about a specific topic and a specific thing. I expect that from the people that know me. If you expect that because I know you that I'm never going to talk about you, no, that's an issue. But
That's a totally different thing.
Exactly.
But there's a problem here. It's probably part of the culture here in general, is that if you talk about somebody in the public sphere, that's sort of, again, the term is sabab li haraj.
Yes, but if you're doing something in the public sphere and I talk about that,
yes, and even then, a lot of people say, no, don't talk about me, period.
There's a culture here that values conversations.
Yeah, because you're basically, the understanding is that there will have to be a response or a direct engagement. The idea of letting something, just general critique in the public sphere slide, it's not something that most people are used to accommodating, because for a lot of people, they believe that it will reflect poorly on them.
Are you talking about your own personal point of view or about how people will feel?
I'm talking in general. How
people will feel is something anyone that you talk about, about anything that has to do with anything negative, they're not going to be good about it, period. Yeah, we know this.
Yeah, and again, if it's the concept of allowing constructive criticism is still not taking root here.
I agree with that. I think I don't. It's not about taking root. I think it's not widely accepted within a lot of different spheres in society, right? Because there's an expectation if you genuinely want me to improve, then we can have this conversation in private rather than having to deal with the criticisms in public. Because if you start that door, then, you know, other critics will come out and, you know, it will start a hubbub that we could have just avoided.
Yeah, but what if what you did is something that's already in the public sphere and everyone is talking about it?
Depends on your responsibility.
Yeah.
If you did,
you have your responsibility towards the public sphere. You have your responsibility towards your friend. You have your responsibility towards your opinion.
Let's make it more specific, right? There was an event that we attended, right?
Yeah.
And the event wasn't what it was advertised to be. And we came here and we talked about this event and we said, yo, there's negative parts of it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Doesn't make us bad.
Not at all. Because we talk about our own experience.
Exactly. Yes. This is what I'm talking about.
We're talking about something we went and saw ourselves.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. But my point is that the other side, depending on the type of relationship you have, he would feel compelled to either respond in some way or just take measures in some shape or form. Like, I'll use an example from my work experience. My previous job, we consulted with a private sector company that's doing work in FMB, which is food and beverage.
Yes. No. I think we all know.
By the way, he was looking at Shamsi, if y'all were wondering. Yeah.
Anyway, keep going. So basically, the concept is that a negative tweet that had zero engagement, that was complaining about the product, was basically requested from the client itself, like, yo, we're going to pursue legal action, like, because of one or two tweets on something that is objectively correct.
Hey,
yeah, so
yo.
This is, that's an extreme.
Over an opinion.
That's an extreme case.
Yeah, but that doesn't fly anywhere. Even if that's an court. It doesn't fly.
That's an extreme case. But you can, اتقيس عليها. Basically, I can't let shit slide. As the prevailing mindset. Most of the thing,
it's a little bit unfair because there's a sense of, if I'm allowed to say something, if you expect me to say good things about you, then you also should allow me to say bad things about you.
Someone get a mirror real quick so don't right in front of Shamsi when he's saying that.
See, it is fair. It's only fair.
Yeah. It should be fair.
Yeah.
It should be fair. But I'm the only person that practices this over here.
Uh-huh. Have fun?
Yes. Yes.
We don't do that. We don't practice that.
I don't know what I kind of zoned up. Yeah, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly. He was attacking for no reason.
What did I not do exactly?
No, the Turk was a victim more than anything.
I know, Turk is a victim. I know.
And always.
He always takes shots.
Yeah.
What?
He always takes back shots.
Yeah.
I truly believe exactly what you just said, that we can be positive and we can also show what's happening from something that we saw.
Yeah, I think this podcast, it's an interesting spectrum about how people discuss things. You tend to be more assertive, more honest, more transparent. I tend to be more diplomatic and I measure my words more accurately.
I'm the loving mom.
And Shamsi, he likes everything. Yeah. He doesn't have an opinion.
Yeah, I do. But it's always Annie.
Because I'll take you back to something. Because when he told me this, I remember the one thing that always keeps coming back to me is us talking about the creative community when we first started and how it was all just a bunch of bubbles and everyone was just supporting their internal bubble and no one is allowing anyone else into the bubble.
True.
And over time, it just got worse.
It didn't change.
It got even worse.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was thinking. Like
stagnation.
That's not about stagnation. It's about solidification. Yani, the cliques, yani, just kept up their walls, as Ada said, right? It became more difficult for you to access a certain community because the people that started it, you know, had that feeling or sense of, hey, like, we've been here first.
Gatekeeping, you mean?
Gatekeeping is another way of saying it, maybe, yeah.
Gatekeeping is part of it. It became, rather than for it to expand and be more open to everybody, it became, the bubble got bigger. Oh, these are the new artists, these are the new creatives, these are the new what? Okay, let's get them involved with us. Mm. And they just made the circle bigger. They didn't open it up.
Like it didn't become accessible. It didn't become...
Yeah, become much more exclusive.
Exactly. It became as part of the elite. If you're part of the elite, you'll be able to have access to these places. If you're not... We appreciate it. Thank you for coming here. You better have some kind of thing that we like for to keep you around.
I can't put our perspective of the creative community today is much more informed than when we first had that conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
We got much more involved.
And it's much, and again, that's
and
why.
And still even more closed off.
Yeah. This is like what annoyed me. Like when we started getting involved with the creative community, we noticed, oh, ew. It's like, I'm not going to joke around. Like really, ew.
Ew.
Like, what is this?
Some of you, ew. But
I agree with you.
Most of you.
But you know who you are. You're one of the good ones.
You're one of the good ones. Yes.
I'm trying to think of, okay, but why has there been a regression rather than progression? You know, why is the case? You know, if we're talking about building communities and building something for the long term, you know, this goes counterproductive.
You tell me. You hang out with them.
No, I'm just trying to think of the drivers behind that.
Well, you see them. This because is why I'm asking. You see their behavior.
Have emotions. People have relationships. And that is what limits that kind of interaction. If it was all merit-based, if it was all like out of appreciation of the craft, of the art, yes, you'd get a much more inclusive community. But no.
Yeah, plus ultimately...
I know people that I want to like help out.
Plus, when you have a community that is overwhelmingly from a privileged class, so to speak, there's not really an incentive to innovate and progress because that is money is still on the back burner.
Rinse, copy, repeat.
Yeah, taktik bil fenhal.
Yeah.
So it's not sustainable because it's not... They're not. Yeah, first of all, the pie is too small. That's what you're saying.
No.
And two, there's no hunger. There's no drive that pushes it forward.
You're not coming at art... For art's sake, you're coming at art because, prestige.
Because of the community.
Prestige.
Because of who you want to hang out with.
I want to be part of that circle. I don't have anything compelling to say. I just want to be part of the conversation.
So it's an ego thing.
Most things are ego things, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's a communal thing. It's a community that you want to build. You want to foster. You want to be involved in.
But is it a community, though? That's the question.
That's
the question. Bro,
you just okay, yeah, you throw it to me. Yeah. Just give me
is it a community? That's the thing. Give me an alley. Because it's not really community. If I'm just doing it for myself and for the prestige, as you're saying.
For my people.
Right? For when you say for the prestige, for people to say, hey, I did this, you know, and the little circle, little bubble around me to actually feel proud of me and say, hey, this guy's so great. Look at what he did. In the wider spectrum, the wider circle, does anybody really care? No.
Okay. I'll tell you how I look at it.
Because, see where I'm going?
The reason I said ew.
Speak your truth.
Okay. Thanks, Mom. Like a mom. So anyway.
I agree.
The reason, look, this is how I look at it. Okay. So you got two schools, right? When I said ew is because people will try to turn it into the cool kids club.
Yes.
And whenever it turns into the cool kids club, that's when it starts becoming ill.
Mm.
That's when personal relationships get involved. That's when people start getting involved. And then that's where, oh, don't talk about me. It starts happening. Oh, why you say this? And gossiping and bullshitting. That's what happens with the cool kids because it's a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the people who were here before, for example, Ammar.
Mm-hmm.
You have Her Highness Princess Nur Faisal with Adlan. By the way, we'll get to her because me and her, we had a great conversation this week.
Mm-hmm.
So you have them who are looking at people who are actually really, really good.
Or fostering talent.
And fostering talent.
Okay.
So every time we see Ammar is always introducing us to someone that we've never met, we've never heard of, and he's really, really good at doing something, right? And every time we go talk to Her Highness, it's the same exact thing. She has with Adlal something for industrial design that they're working on with students and so on. Like you're like, oh, okay. Like there's people who actually want to empower people who are great at what they do. And there are people who just want to be in the in circle just to be in the in circle.
Mm.
And the majority of people in our age who are in this field want to be with the cool kids. It's not about, oh, my art. No, no, no. They just want to be seen with the cool kids. Because those same people, you see them at all the little events that happen, from brands to whatever the hell it is. You see the same people everywhere.
Mm.
You can't tell me that last year alone, that you went to all these events at Champs and never seen the same people more than five times.
No, definitely. You always do.
Right?
Yeah.
Because why? There's a list of the cool kids that everybody wants them to be around. And then those cool kids never innovate. They don't usually give back.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for payments for certain things. And they're not really moving the culture forward. They just pause it because they just became one of the cool kids. And they want to stay as one of the cool kids.
Do you think the cool kids are struggling?
Oh, yeah, they're struggling. Oh, since last year, they've been struggling.
Is that why they don't want any new players in the field?
Mm.
Is that why? That they want to...
I don't think any of them can innovate.
Yeah.
A lot of them are one-trick ponies.
The rule has always been, it's not about what you've done, what have you done recently?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not just that. And I think one of the big differences here is when we look at the old school, if we're going to look at it that way, the thing that brings them together or binds them is the fact that they are consistently looking for people to work with and support and collaborate. And there's nonstop, there's an element of I'm always doing something. If it's here, if it's there, if it's small, if it's big, it doesn't matter. I don't have to talk about it, but I am giving something back to someone, And that's something you don't really see with the wider creative community.
We talked about how MOC is exhausting some of our great artists, right?
Mm.
But at the same time, I understand why. How many people are at Mohammed Chono's level?
Very, 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 very few. Mm.
Less than 0.1%.
Mm.
So how are we... How is there a bubble for the cool kids and none of them can compete at that level? But they still want to be the cool kids that are all about the arts and they know everything about arts and they're inner circle and they do everything for arts and they're always surrounded by people and culture. But the really, really good ones, Dr. Ahmed Matar, for example, how many of them are at that level?
Almost done. Yeah, almost done.
So what bubble are you creating and what circle are you creating when all you're doing is just making everything stagnant? You're not moving the needle forward. And the people who were moving the needle forward for 10 years are still trying to move it forward. And they still come out with work that moves it forward. But you, the people with the day-to-day hanging out together and trying to act like you're artists, you're not moving the needle.
So is there an element of experience here? Like the wisdom of time?
Look, you can look at Mohammed's work and it's passionate.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There's already a drive.
Yeah.
Before people looked at it, there was already a drive.
So that's what I'm saying, the drive.
So do these people want to be artists or do they want to be part of a circle? Because it looks like most of them just want to be part of a circle. None of them really want to be artists.
Or very, very few want to actually.
We had a great launch. We had a great launch because we had so many artists that no one had ever seen. And the launch happened. Now, you're supposed to come and take the fruits of this and build it and help us launch forward, but you're stuck being the cool kids.
You're stuck eating the fruits rather than actually planting new trees.
You're taking the fruits.
Yeah, rather than seeding and looking for a garden to grow.
Like, this is my problem with the creative community. This is why I pulled myself away and I was like, I don't want to be part of any of this because... Nothing's moving forward. Everyone's trying to be cool with each other. Everyone doesn't want to be disrespectful of someone else because, I always see him in my circle, so I don't want him to feel a certain way toward me. Or they're like, they're not going to invite me anymore. Bro, if your work is good, if your work can talk on its own, you need nobody. You don't need to be buddy-buddy with anyone. You don't need to rub shoulders. You don't have to be in the inner circle. You just need to have the right people that know that you exist. People who want to move the needle forward.
Exactly.
And they're going to make you move forward.
Strive for respect, not fear.
Yeah, true art is undeniable.
Amen. And the funny thing is, Cool Kids Club is spelled with 3 Ks. And you see the similarities.
Come on, another part of it is at the end of the day, what is the legacy that we want to leave behind? If you actually want to leave something behind.
No. You model of Shamsi, you're trying to give them so much respect.
They're thinking about the next paycheck.
I'm talking about when I think of somebody
What do you mean next paycheck? They're thinking about, okay, when's daddy going to go?
Let's be honest. Some of them are struggling.
They want the next paycheck.
But I'm talking about somebody who actually leaves something, somebody that builds something, somebody like Ammar, somebody who actually, you can go and you see the roots of all the people that he's inspired or touched or worked with, or
if you go to Centuria Mall right now, you'll see all the work.
Yeah. So and that is something that you look back to, something you actually can hold and touch, which is rare. Once again,
people like Ammar is rare. People like Her Highness are very rare.
Amen.
There's a lot of people like Mohammed Chono is rare. Ahmed is rare. All of them are rare, bro. Mm. Those people move needles. It's very hard to find people who move the needle. You have a lot of people that just want to num 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 num.
That's exactly
the sound.
The reverse here is giving back. The reverse here is actually building rather than taking. Yeah.
Now patience and creativity. Moving the needle forward.
Yeah. Right.
That brings us to that again. So I was having a conversation with an artist, and I was telling him, I was like, the biggest issue that I see with a lot of people and in any art field is having the patience to see their work through. Everybody wants to be seen right now. Everybody wants to have the thing that's popping right now. None of them really want to take the time to build that. And I feel like because the world moves so fast and social media is moving so fast that you feel like every time you open up, you see someone dropping something abroad, mm-hmm. someone around the world is doing something. You feel like you're not doing anything. So you just want to move the needle, or not even the needle. You just want to move fast and get something done. And I feel like we don't have a lot of people that are slowly cooking. Everyone's just running through.
That's how it should be. It's a craft. It should take its time.
That's true. I agree with that.
Because we met a couple of people. I'm not going to say where, so we didn't give it away. But we met a couple of people last month, me and you. We went to a place. And we asked one of them, yo, how long did it take you to do this? Like, oh, I was forced to finish it in 3 weeks. Mm. And we're like, oh, okay. And like they were not even happy about it. But they feel like, yo, I need to finish up and wrap this up quick. Because
there's always something else coming down the line. And exactly. I don't have time to actually sit and create and, you know, curate, not just create. It's a curse of the modern, you know, cycle, I guess. You know, you're never really given or allowed time to really cook. And yeah, as a creative, you look around you and you feel a sense of urgency to deliver something because, hey, like, you know, everybody else is doing something, right? Not just that, you want to, you know, sometimes birth the thing that you're working on to the world, even though it's not ready because of that sense of pressure that you feel around you.
Why do you have to pick birth?
Is that the problem you have? No, everything else I'm saying is not the problem.
No, it was no. You were going well, بصراحة, يعني.
I don't think any. It requires a very strong will to be able to zone out the world and actually just, you know, allow yourself to be in your own zone when you work on your own thing.
Compete with yourself.
Compete with everything else.
No. You don't compete with the world. You compete with yourself, with your past self.
Yes.
You become better than what you were yesterday.
Mm.
If you look at other people and you try to compete with them, let's say, because I couldn't find another word.
Mm.
You're always going to be behind.
Mm.
True.
Because you're always going to be looking at people who are better than you.
Yes.
But if you compete with your past self and just look at how much you've grown.
Personal growth.
Yeah.
That will give you the motivation to keep going.
You have to hate yourself so you can eventually love yourself.
Yeah. I'm already there.
Oh, hate yourself?
No, yes. I hate, yeah. Yeah. One day.
No, and even at the stage of...
Thailand, Turks and Thailand. Hey. We were talking about it yesterday.
Hating himself.
Turks is going to retire in Thailand.
Retirement. Okay. Thailand.
Well, I'm in the pants.
Yes.
But it's not just about hating yourself. It's about accepting, I think, that you are going to be bad or very bad. And then over time, you know, still going to be bad. And it's going to take you some time until you're just there.
That's quite literally what I said.
Yes.
I'm not talking hating yourself like as a person. I'm saying as an artist. Yeah,
I feel like you do hate yourself as a person a lot. So it's hard for me to discern when you're not talking about yourself.
But he's not an artist.
I'm just saying, you know, he's generally like a self-hating person.
Still has himself bad.
Yeah, so go on. You're saying?
No, that's my point. خلاص. فككتها طبعا كالعادة يعني.
But how see? But so that's the what you're all of the what we're talking about is something that you need to actively nurture. It's not something that you just.
If you don't grow as a person, nothing else you're doing around you grows. It's that simple. If you're the same person from last year and the year before and the year before, then you're not gonna grow, mm-hmm. and nothing around you is gonna grow. Nothing's gonna move forward. Like I remember, I used to talk to one of my boys. He was telling me about like, oh, how having a kid changes perspective. But I was like, of course it should, because now you care about something.
Mm.
So when there's a care about something,
you have to keep something alive.
Like one of my boys used to scream, fuck the police. Now he's like, yo, where's the police? That's all he does right now. Every time something happens, like, guys, I need to go call the police. I hear some noise. So growth, bro. When things happen in your life moves forward, things start changing, right? It doesn't have to be specifically a kid. Yeah, don't boys, please. Take one. Relax.
You tell Shamsi that. I'm pretty safe. Yeah. I'm pretty safe in that regard.
I have baby fever. You're about to do it.
I know.
It is a problem.
I've seen you, bro.
Became an uncle one time. وشغلنا.
The ovaries went into wild.
Yes, exactly.
I want them kids. He doesn't have anything in his life that's stable enough for him to have kids. But he's like, I want the kids.
That's now. No, but again, we go back to the idea of patience and creativity. And Yani, what you need to do is just like be able to nurture that sense of it's about my journey rather than everybody else's expectation of what my journey should be.
Yeah, but when you're stuck in a club, you keep looking at everybody else around you and everyone's finishing things. You're like, oh, I'm going to miss out. And then you forget your journey because now you feel like you're in competition.
So fuck the club. Step out of the fucking club, right?
Yeah, it's
easy to say. Yeah. Yes, definitely, Yani. But so we are talking about growth, right? We are talking about something that it requires time in order for it to actually mature to a thing that's worthwhile.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, so it will require that
time. I keep saying I don't know, but I really, really know, but I'm trying to really hold my tongue.
No, we're like, and if we're hitting...
Yeah, because I'm the one who keeps getting the phone calls, all right? Yeah, I'll sit there like, oh, I don't know, really, what happened? Like, you're there, you know what's going on, you're not saying shit.
None of us,
I'll answer.
We're talking common sense here, I feel, in a sense.
He's sorry. It's
okay. Sadly, he had to answer the phone last time. Yeah. Had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So no, thank you for answering last time.
Again,
I don't need to do it again.
I don't think we're saying anything wild, right? Like we're talking just common sense.
Which is
here.
Which kind of doubles back to my initial point. You can say something that's perfectly reasonable and acceptable, but people get in their feelings and pursue actions that are excessive.
So I shouldn't care? That's what you're telling me?
No, my point is that it's not about you shouldn't care, is that do the proper calculations before speaking.
I don't really care. I'll be very honest. If something has to be said, then I'm going to say it. If they don't want to be my friends, it's all good.
Yeah, that's part of the calculation.
I appreciate it. Yes. Like, thank you. Like, if you want me to talk about your shit, just don't talk to me, period. But if I sit back and I find myself to being also part of the bubble, afraid to talk about things because other people might get in their feelings.
Then I'm doing it wrong.
Then I'm doing... Why am I here? Why am I doing this podcast?
I agree with that, honestly.
No, you don't.
No, I do.
Mister, I like everything.
Yes.
No, again, we go back to.
You agree with the concept.
No, no.
But you don't. That's not a concept. That you
it's the same idea. The idea is, if I'm gonna say good things about you, then you need to accept that I'm gonna say bad things about you.
The most critical and negative thing you have said throughout this podcast experience has been. I get where you're coming from. I can see where yeah. Where this came from.
I can see Shamsi's a lot. That's when Shamsi's want to get involved.
I can see.
I can see what you're talking.
That's called having the ability to have multiple perspectives.
No, it's just one perspective.
Encourage. Like, Yani.
Multiple perspective is saying, "Oh, this is great. This is amazing. This is shit. I hate it." That's multiple perspective.
Shamsi has the right to approach all these conversations in any way that he feels that it's good. And comfortable for
yes,
him.
Yes, and we can shit on him.
Exactly. And we have the absolute fucking right.
Which is great.
To call you out on which, your, I'm not going to say hypocrisy. Hypocrisy.
No, it's softball approach. Softball approach, you might do.
Nah, yeah. I don't think it's a softball approach. Let's be honest. Yeah. Oh, your work is amazing. I saw you do that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your work.
It's nice to encourage people.
He wants kids. What do you expect, Yaffe? He's got to be motivating. He's trying to practice, Yaffe.
Exactly.
Good job.
You need to bring in positive energy, man. You know, always push people forward.
Oh, I can see why you created that. We walk away, Shams like, yo, this was a shit.
But you know what? But you know what? You know what I always tell you? But at least he's trying, right?
No,
No.
You've never said that. Because, you know, I
shouldn't have tried.
I jumped in with the conversation and we started talking about how shitty it was. For like 25 minutes.
Shamsi, I can try to do dentistry. That doesn't mean I'm going to be good at it.
At some point, you will, right?
Anyway, everybody.
Hopefully.
Be rude. Stop loving you. Anyway, moving on to other topics. Quickly, Apple WWDC is coming in June. It's going to be about AI. Ooh.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
Should we be scared?
You didn't see the tweet?
Oh, right. No, but I heard...
Is Apple Net coming online?
No, I think... there's a rumor that they took Gemini from Google.
Which is a AI development software company.
No, it's like...
Remember a few episodes ago when we were discussing Gemini and they would create black founding fathers and they had a bias against the whites?
Yeah, so it's an AI image generator.
Yes.
No, it's not an image generator.
It's basically a...
It's like a weak chat GPT.
Yes.
It's a national language processor.
Chat GPT.
So they want to make it... I think they want to take a serious place. Okay. Or like, you know...
Please.
I know, it's serious.
Please.
So I think basically they're saying we're getting into the AI game. No.
I heard some rumors that the hardware of the next iPhone is completely different just to cater to AI. Like I, they're that, adding some more chips that I don't know.
This is what I'm telling you. Mean. If they are going to cater to AI, so, it means everything else is going to change now.
Yeah.
So Siri is not.
They found a new way for us to have to purchase new things.
Siri is not real AI.
No,
nah. Really? She's not AI.
Siri is awful.
Yeah, she's pre-programmed.
The only thing worse, assistant. The only thing that's worse that. Than Siri is the trash in the Mercedes.
Okay.
But, hey Mercedes, turn on the radio. I don't get that. Like, oh, yo, just turn on the fucking radio.
Pre-programmed.
If you're driving a Mercedes, I'm sorry.
I apologize to all my Mercedes buddies. Yeah. We're going through it, guys. We're going through it.
The car doesn't listen to me.
Doesn't. I know we're comfortable with that massage seat, but I'm just telling you, I feel for you.
The only time I use Siri is to set my alarm without getting out of it.
And it still gets it wrong. Put it 2 months ahead.
Isn't it about time for Apple to get into the AI game? Like it's again.
That's,
I feel
that's
like
what they do. They slow cook.
They let it see, ride for thing. A couple of years before they jump in.
Apple's model was always: we take our time to let everybody create, and then we take it, we tailor it in a way that fits perfectly to everything that we have.
Exactly. Okay, so
but AI is not there yet.
Yeah, I would say AI has had a couple of years in the mainstream.
It's
now.
Still not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Nowhere
too
near.
Soon.
Nowhere near.
Nowhere near. It will be, look. It's gonna. Okay, let's be honest.
Like, when did Apple come up with Safari?
The man? AI that we get us. Near mortals, is trash, mm-hmm. right? But there are other AIs that are wild.
Easy image. Awal Jawal Jacky, but Dul can block. Yeah, it's gonna take time.
What's that AI device? The rabbit something?
The iRabbit or something like that?
I think something like that.
iRabbit.
Yeah, came out a while ago.
Sounds wrong.
It's basically it replaces your phone at SS. It's just one screen, and you talk to it, and.
We saw that we
with machine learning. It learns exactly how to operate all the apps, all the software that you want as a like a human-esque kind of thing. You don't have to have any input to your phone. You just talk to this.
So imagine Apple does that.
Yeah.
Imagine how much better that would actually be, you know?
Exactly.
Damn, I am actually a little bit scared.
You've been scared for a while.
No, just a little bit
more.
We're
going to have this discussion 10 years when you finally upgrade your phone.
I mean, yeah, but that's the thing. When you look at it as an Apple device, you're looking at it as something that can completely take over your
Rabbit R1.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it was. We saw the launch of it right here.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be safe.
Your home.
I'm going to be safe because every time I tell Siri to do something, I say thank you.
Okay. Maybe just don't talk to her. How about that?
I tell her, say thank you.
Other
thank
than
you,
that,
Siri.
Tesla, Elon Musk put out a tweet saying Tesla Robo Taxi.
Okay. F1
August 8th.
Oh.
What does that even mean?
Well, that's
August 8th, 2023, 3, 4, 5.
He said 8-8. Yeah. That's all he said.
Okay,
2018.
So we had this conversation like, I don't know, like episode 100 something. Mm. So the idea of having electric cars. Did we hear music?
No, it was a car passing by.
Okay, I thought it was because I know
you listen to a lot of bass, but that's music to you.
So anyway, thank you. We were talking about how the use of electric cars is going to happen when we said cars are going to be parked outside the city, and inside the city, everything's going to be automated,
it's
right?
It's going to be networked, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think this is the idea of the robo-taxi, like all these buses that just move on its own and does everything on its own.
So it's not a car. It's a system.
It's a system of cars, I think.
Mm. So it's not just like one car. It's not like, hey, we'll come into your city. Let us plug in these, you know.
One of the ideas was,
you know, network basically at all the traffic lights within the city that will be able to organize, you know, the traffic of these autonomous cars.
Yes, but again, do you remember when full self-driving that Tesla was talking about, even though now it's on pause and has a lawsuit and stuff, but they had the full self-driving thing, right? You know, be whatever you are, call your car, we'll come to you wherever you are, right?
Mm.
So one of the things that people were talking about that if robo-taxi comes on, I don't know if Elon was talking about this or someone was talking about it, like if Tesla has robo-taxi on and I own a Tesla, right? And I'm at home, I'm not going to work for the rest of the day. I can turn on the robo-taxi app, let's say, and I can let my car go and deliver people. So I'll be at home making money and my car at night is going around dropping people off.
Let's just start by saying this.
That's
crazy.
You're buying a robo-taxi.
That is crazy.
That's if it's an ownership.
Okay, it's not called a robo-taxi.
Imagine it's a feature, just like Uber Eats, that you have the right to opt in or opt out whenever you want.
I think that's not a bad idea, actually. That's actually a good idea. This is basically you eliminating the need for everybody to have a car. This is you basically tightening up the system. And
you're still asking people to buy cars to have
not
that.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
You don't need to have your own personal car.
But if it's like the scooter systems that you find outside.
أبو عبد الله عنده موتر في الحارة. Okay. Yeah, exactly. أبو عبد الله هندري إنه ما يطلع من الدوام إلا الساعة 3. مشواري الساعة 4 إن شاء الله يمديني أوصل.
جيب السيارة أبو عبد الله.
Exactly. That's literally it. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but think about like the scooters you find on the street where you download an app and just they're all over the street. Yeah, pick it up. And go.
Okay, but see, again, it's much more convenient. It's
not cost effective to ask me to buy a car and.
I'm not asking. You to buy the car, you are already buying the car. Exactly. I'm just giving you an option for you to make money back.
You're very strongly suggesting,
you know. No, I'm just letting you know. By the way, I think it's a clever way of doing it, but I'm not sure. I don't know where they would do it. They'd need to take over a city in the US, right? Like, you need to
phrasing, yeah, Shams. Phrasing,
you know, wouldn't they?
Like, implementation, see, not takeover.
You know, they would need to actually sign a contract with the city to apply this. Now, what city is willing to open itself up to being a testing ground for
Los Angeles
autonomous cars? Angeles. Is another whole another question.
Los Angeles.
No, I think Los Angeles is way too big.
New York.
New York is way too crowded.
Not all those cab drivers.
Mm-hmm. You know, no. Riot. I think you would need a smaller.
They would.
You know, like a San Diego or some shit like that. You know, like a city.
It's not small.
It's a busy
like,
city.
Yeah. No, but you know, a smaller city
with military bases. Watch this, Teslas go in.
ما عليك جايب اوبر فور ايتس يو نو نو بس يو جيت ماي بوينت
لايك ايتس واي از ذا بيتزا بيبينج
اوماها اوماها نبراسكا
ذير وي جو اوكي سمثينج لو ستيكس
شيبويجن ويسكونسن
اي دونت نو اف ذات اكزيستس
ات داز اي جست وونت تو سي شيبويجن
اول رايت ليتس موف فورورد سو اي توك تو هير رويال هاندس برنسس نورا فيصل ذس ويك اي كولد هير اب اند يو نو مي اي هاف سم كويستشنز اي واز So I was having conversations with someone, and then me and Umar, shout out to Umar from Dukan, we were having conversations about culture, and like things just start getting together. Then I had like all these thoughts and ideas, but I was like, yo, I want to ask her because she knows things better than me when it comes to culture, right? Mm. So I called her, I was like, Your Highness, I have a question, but it might sound very, very racist. So I'm going to tell you what it is, and you have to tell me how I can say it on the podcast
without sounding very, very racist. Okay, that's a good way to open up a conversation. Okay.
But like, she gave me such amazing like things to think about, and I appreciate you, Your Highness, for that. It's honestly... some of it, I want to really save it to like one day when we get to sit down with her. Mm-hmm. But... She has some of these like gems that she dropped on me. So the thing is this. So I was thinking about Jeddah, right? Mm. And how Jeddah was always very liberal.
Okay.
And Jeddah was always like considered in Saudi to be at the forefront of being not Saudi.
Being the word you're looking
for. I'm not
cosmopolitan.
This is a joke. This is a joke. Okay. All of us are from Jeddah. Take this. All of our boys are Jeddah. We appreciate you. We love you.
Everybody like, else in Saudi.
Just take these jokes.
We also like you.
So what's name? So we were talking about how Jeddah, where it is right now, like, you know, it's a Saudi city, right? But it is very progressive. Mm. And when you look at all of Saudi and you look at Jeddah, Jeddah was always different.
Jeddah ghir.
Okay.
That's literally the slogan.
That's literally the slogan. Yeah. Sorry, that's why I said Jeddah is different.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
This guy, hate this guy. Right? And she told me, she was like, one of the things that she did that I saw very beautiful, she was like, it's a melting pot of culture that's tied by religion.
True.
True.
Very true.
So when you look at Jeddah, why it's always been progressive compared to everywhere else is because it's the doorway to Mecca.
True.
Correct.
And so everybody will land in Jeddah before going to Mecca. And you have all these Muslims from all over the world, from different cultures, different backgrounds, that all come to one city to go to Mecca. And because of that happening, it always had this melting pot of multiple cultures in one.
And each generation is teaching the next one to welcome people and foster them and basically cater to their needs while they're coming for Mecca.
Yeah, but that's,
and not just that.
That's what the whole country does.
No, you're
talking...
Akid. But it's much more prominent.
Of course, 100%.
And we're talking about, you know, people...
Because it's the international gateway.
And we're talking about, you know, people as diverse as, you know, coming from West Africa all the way to Indonesia and China, coming and actually staying in the city and leaving roots in the city and leaving imprints on the city. And all of these imprints, you know, end up growing, nurtured by generations, and they end up interacting and building the melting pot of today. Not just today, and had to have yesterday.
Melting or melding?
Melting.
I wanted this conversation to go somewhere else, but overthinking it for this whole week, I have like 100 things that I kept thinking about. I'm just going to drop some of them right here for all of us to just, you know.
So what's the spicy thing you want to say?
There's nothing spicy about this. No, it's because I was really looking at Jeddah, because Jeddah was always the progressive city, right? But Riyadh kind of pushed it further than Jeddah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Caught up.
Exceeded.
Yeah,
exceeded. Didn't catch up. It exceeded Jeddah.
Why would you? Okay, go on.
Jeddah became stagnant at some point.
I wouldn't go far say stagnant, but I think by virtue of the economic weight of Riyadh, and it's pulling people from not only across Saudi but across the world.
We moved half Jeddah to Riyadh. Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's exactly. That. It's that. Makes, I think it's the fact that Jeddah.
So when you bring,
I'll give it to Jeddah.
Bring all those people to Riyadh, they will bring the other stuff and the other viewpoints, cosmopolitanism, etc.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to give it to that. No, Riyadh moves forward because Riyadh opened up.
Yeah, but
because of all these events and all these world things that we're doing, that everybody opened up.
Yeah, and
because keep in mind, most of Riyadh, they were all outside of Saudi every time they're on vacation.
Correct.
So they're already open-minded before all this happened. So when this happened,
there's an incentive.
When this happened, it didn't feel like it's something very weird to a lot of people in Riyadh, because we live these moments abroad, but now we get to live them at home. So this is why I'm telling you, like, I felt like Riyadh, like, breathed a sigh of relief that everybody heard, and you feel like everything is just calmer than it was before. There's less tension.
Mm.
And not just that. I think part of it is that Riyadh, Jeddah for a long time has been a focus of, you know, the Islamic world, because, again, we're talking about the doorway to Hajj al-Umrah and you know, having the roots that go back 100 years. Riyadh, on the other hand, is much more international in its outlook. You know, we are drawing people from literally every corner of the world. Like, you are not surprised to meet someone from New Zealand who lives in Riyadh for the past 2 years, and they came specifically to Saudi because, hey, you know, we saw from afar the transformation that's happening,
potential.
You know, the potential of the country, the way that you guys are innovating in different things, and we wanted to be a part of it.
Sure.
Like, and that's something that happened to me a couple of days ago. Like, and it's become a normal thing to walk around Riyadh and see people from every corner of the world,
honestly, mm-hmm.
You know? True. And I feel that is what pushed it forward. And the fact that we managed to do this in a time scale of 7 years is
crazy.
I think partly, you know, defined by what you just said, that the people of Riyadh were already kind of primed for it for a long time. You know, we have been traveling to London and Paris and the States for since the 70s.
Dubai.
You know, and Dubai over the past 20 years as well has brought the world to our doorstep, and we got to see it. Mm. So none of this is strange. None of this is weird. None of this is foreign, you know, in any way, shape, or form. Which is a beautiful thing to see, honestly. You know.
Now the question is, how progressive will Jeddah get now that it has competition?
I think Jeddah is always going to keep its place as, you know, more Islamically inclined city. You know, because of its you know, the
proximity
regular to. The proximity, and not just that, the regularity of hosting the Hajj terminal on a yearly basis. Right, you will always have that be part of the people that come to Jeddah.
Her Highness said something very interesting. She was saying that by the time all these big projects are happening in Jeddah, everybody that came to Riyadh to work from Jeddah is going to go back. And they've already seen what's happening in Riyadh and how things progress, move forward.
And obviously they're inspired to have the same thing happen in Jeddah.
And at the same time, I feel, even though we need to talk to people from Jeddah about this, but I feel that Jeddah is not going to change.
In what way?
I think Jeddah, they're going to look at it and say, okay, Riyadh is moving so fast. They have this identity of being this fast-paced city. We're going to be the Zen city.
Mm. Is Zen the right word, though?
I'm just giving you
slower paced.
Yes.
Slower paced. I would see that happening. I would see that. But
makes sense.
But again,
got the beach.
Not just that, but Jeddah has always been a merchant city, you know, has been like, it's that trading city.
Yeah, but it hasn't been that in a long time.
Yeah. Mm. It's been the calm, cool city.
Yes.
Rawag.
No, but see, and
Raha.
Raha.
Raha with Jeddah.
I think there part of that might be true, but I do feel like Jeddah still has a place, because you do need, you would want to build something that will attract these people that
come for. You already announced that you're going to build these projects.
Yeah, I have it.
These projects are going to happen. But I'm telling you, the people themselves, they're going to keep that culture of, no, Everything is slow. Enjoy your day. Beaches on the weekend. Mm. Everything the same.
Oh, okay.
Give yourself a massage. Relax.
Don't say that.
We're going to close off everything. Every store is going to shut down at 8 o'clock. خلاص. Again.
That's Sharqiya more than...
Yeah, Sharqiya is going to...
Yeah.
Every store is going to open at 8 o'clock.
That's true.
That's true. True.
I feel it will be part of the character identity, but I feel like Jeddah has a liveliness that will remain to it as well, you know? Not as
it has
much
character.
As, not as much as Riyadh, definitely.
Yeah, but Jeddah, if you just fly to Jeddah, it's boring. Jeddah's value is in its people.
Very true.
True.
And this is what I'm telling you. It's just always like going to be the people.
Yeah.
Riyadh's value...
Once upon a time.
Yeah, Riyadh has... You come into this city, there's so much value in so many places for whatever you're looking for.
Mm.
From people to business to culture, to whatever you're looking
you
for, arts,
it.
Whatever it is in your head, you'll find it in Riyadh.
Mm.
But Jeddah still, the value of Jeddah is its people. And I think it's always going to be remain as its people, and it's always going to have that mentality, that stable mentality of moving things in a certain way and a certain pace. Because that's the identity of the city with them.
Certain way and a certain pace. I feel like, but isn't that true of all cities by the sea? Like they take things a little bit slower than the inland cities, or a little bit less serious than the inland cities. Let's say.
Where's New York located? Where's New York City?
New York City would be the
what is it surrounded by?
No, but that would be the exception, right? Like New York, London,
San Francisco.
Name the big cities.
I would say San Francisco is slower than New York.
No, it is not slow.
Where are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Really? It's just steep hills. That's why they look slow.
Yes.
Takes people more time to go up the hill.
Yeah. But no, it's not slow whatsoever.
No, but I think it's nice that we have this contrast now between Riyadh and Jeddah.
Yeah, but by the way, what you just said a second ago, like I said before, if you go to LA, LA has its own vibe as a city.
Mm-hmm.
Jeddah's vibe is in its people. You have fun when you're with its people. And LA can just go and pop into stores and go hang out at the beach. You can do that in Jeddah. But Jeddah's real value is in its people.
True.
Yeah, I
agree. Most of
them
move to Riyadh.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
All right, but yeah. Amazing conversations, boys. Like
Deep,
very deep. Very like, deep. A lot of,
we've covered a lot of ground today.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Before we bounce, y'all want to talk about J. Cole? Did y'all hear it?
I heard it. I agree with you. It was mid at best.
Do you know what it sounded like to me?
Well,
first off, let's explain to everybody. So yeah. J. Cole dropped, should we consider it an album?
I mean, it's an EP.
It's 12 tracks. It's not an EP.
It's like a...
12 tracks? 12?
Really?
Yes.
That's
response?
An album.
Yeah, no.
It's like 8 tracks, bro. It's less than 12.
Okay, so no, it's not 8. What are you talking about? It is 12.
Okay.
Exactly 12. So it's called Might Delete Later. Now, Might Delete Later is amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's a great project, title. Yanni.
No.
Great title.
It's amazing.
As a project?
As a project.
Okay.
Bars. I loved Crocodile Tears, Hunting Wabbits.
Mm.
I also liked that one. There was one with Absol also. I forgot what it was called. No, there's a lot of great tracks on this.
Okay.
Without 7-Minute Drill, which was going at Kendrick, I think this was beautiful. 7-Minute Drill... You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
What I understood from that track is that both of them are friends. And Kendrick is talking to him like he's talking to one of his boys. Like when you're in the corner or you're talking, we're sitting with your boys. Hey man, listen, you haven't dropped like in 30 months. It's like boys having a conversation. It wasn't like, yo, he was matching energy. Listen, if you want to talk about guns, I grew up in DeVille. If you want to talk about that, I can do this. If you think you're ready to jump off, I'm ready to jump off. If you want to take a bar for bar, I'm ready to take you on. It felt like a big brother, little brother thing that was going between them, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't really go at him. And this is why I said it was mid. Because I expected like, yo, you're really going to go at him. But he took the approach of, yo,
did you really expect that though?
Yeah, I did expect that.
Like he would really go at him?
Yeah, I expected that. Cole is in a position right now where it can get him to be number one or be at number three or maybe four or five. And drop off.
But
so
I feel
he needs to come back with something.
But I feel like that goes counter to his own persona and personality, right? He's not that guy. You're not that guy.
He said he's that guy.
No.
See, no. When you say it, it means you open the door for people to criticize.
Bro, he's never been a killer, you know? He's never been the guy.
He never had to kill.
Exactly. He's never been the guy that drew blood, you know, or knows what to do with blood.
But now you have an album coming off. You did a championship song.
Which is going to be great. I think it's... I didn't finished the project yet. I started with 7 minute drill and then I started from the top. I think there's a couple of good tracks here. Some really good beats.
Great fucking bars also.
So I'm enjoying some of the tracks.
You can tell his pen is good. But this is why I want it so much. Because when you listen to the whole thing, his pen is good.
It's been good. It's not exactly now. It's been good for a minute now, for a good year.
Not a 7 minute drill.
Because I feel like
he wrote in 7 minutes, by the way. No, I'm not joking. Like, this is what...
For real?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I feel like part of it is that you can't really go that hard because he never really responded to you, right? Like, it just feels to me like you want to be part of the conversation.
Cole?
Yes. You know?
Cole has been part of the conversation for a while.
No, that's what I'm saying. But we were talking about the track, the reply from Kendrick was directed at Drake completely.
Mostly at Drake.
Almost. 90%. Almost.
Yes, I agree with you.
But for you coming back with like fire and brimstone is not really proportionate to what you just got, you know? I agree with you. It's like a reminder. Yo, by the way, like I can hold my own here if you want to have this discussion. You are lacking in some places, but it didn't feel dangerous.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, it didn't feel dangerous.
And that's why I felt like, you know, I'm just going to give you this little warning shot. Mm. And then if you want to take it, we can take it. And I think Kendrick already wants to take it. So I don't know why you give me a warning shot. I think it was obvious when I want to take this.
I'm not sure where.
Why are you coming to me with a warning shot when you knew where I wanted to take this?
Yeah, because I think most of the conversation has been directed to the feelings rapper.
Who we agreed last time that that's not going to respond, and he still hasn't responded.
Well, the rumor was, he's on tour.
So
Meek Mill was on tour also when he went at him.
Hey, so what? So you can't get in the fucking studio while you're on tour?
I don't know his excuse. Look, I think Drake is going to come out with a good one. I think Drake will come out with a good one.
Okay.
But
I disagree with that.
I think Drake will win. If Drake comes back to respond to Kendrick, Drake might take a round.
Okay.
But he's going to lose.
Eventually. The war?
Yeah.
I don't see him coming back with a good one. I see him playing a holier-than-thou attitude and just like saying, hey, I'm too big for this.
He's going to sad post on Instagram.
I don't think he ever wanted to be too big for this. I think it was, like we said, the business.
He's been pushed.
The business saying, yo, do not do this. We're not in the mood for this.
No, but again, can you play on that level, Drake? I don't think you can play on Kendrick's level, bro.
I think.
You couldn't play on Pusha's level.
I think. If the business believed that he could play at that level, then allow him.
But we know he can't.
But I think, I think he can. I think he's been here for 10, 11 years.
I know. He's
capable of going toe-to-toe. It's not that he's not capable. He might not be great at it,
yeah,
but he's capable.
I don't think he can compete with Kendrick, honestly. On that level, okay,
I told you, he'll take a run, but I think he can't win the war.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see if actually comes up with something good or interesting. You know, I doubt it. Definitely doubt it. Because of the business, again. But even if he goes full throttle at it, I don't think he can compete. Honestly. I'm interested to see. Very interested to see.
Is he going to go full 3-4 minutes at Kendrick? Or is he going to give us a line? This is what's most important.
He's going to do a line.
If he's going to do a line, then keep that shit at home.
Yeah, he's going to do a line.
Keep that shit at home. Keep that shit
at home. Again, he's going to play the whole, yo, I'm too big for this. You know,
y'all
just talking. I'll be making money. Okay, that's it.
I'm gonna say a controversial statement. I think Drake is good on money.
I think he's been good on money.
And again, that's what he's gonna come back with. He's gonna come back with, I don't need to respond to you because I'm already the biggest, you know, pop star. That's it.
Is he
pop star?
That's the word.
There you go.
That's the word.
Yeah. He's gonna make you dance.
Yeah, he's gonna make you dance. You'll get a new ringtone.
You'll go to forever and hear him talking shit about Kendrick. Yeah. This is the problem.
Exactly.
I learned about something about Drake. It has to do with Saudi that I'll tell you guys off the podcast. I cannot tell on the podcast. I just want to. I just everyone wants to hate me for this. Just hate me for this one. I can't tell nobody. But I'll tell you.
Tidbits.
No, like something really crazy, bro. Like I didn't put two and two together until someone actually broke it down for me. He's like, by the way, do you remember this? I was like, yeah. He's like, yo, this is because of Saudi.
So, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And on that note.
We out?
We out.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. Aidan Barak, enjoy it with your family and everything. Players. Hopefully next week we're going to have an episode. Hopefully not. 100% we will.
Hopefully not.
Probably. Yeah.
Number one is not going to be here. You're going to be dead, right?
Yay.
I exist outside of the consciousness.
We'll take our medications then.
Exactly.
Anyway.
The winningest manager in Paraguayan football. I love that word. The winningest.
The winningest?
The winningest.
Yes. Guffle.
We're watching TV.
Guffle.
All right, let's go home.
Osvaldo Dominguez.
Peace.